This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, it's us. I'm good. Hi, this is Ethnically Ambiguous.
This is Anna.
And Shireen.
Hi, this is... I didn't know. Am I supposed to go in there?
No, perfect. I got distracted. There was a pause that was not necessary. But anyway, this is still the introduction of the episode.
That's right. We have Becca's mom, Carol D. Ramos, on the show today. We have good mom energy here.
Yes, really good. Yeah, that's the great way to put it. She's so lovely and kind, and she tells us about the experience that she's had teaching and being Puerto Rican in the States. It's a really lovely conversation.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hi. I'm good. I went on a really nice hike this morning, to be honest. So I'm better than normal because I went to a forest. So that's always nice.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was burping.
How are you? No, it's okay. I was like, is that a sarcastic? That's awesome. No,
I was burping, so I was trying to get that awesome out. But I choked on my juice. So
What kind of juice are you drinking these days?
It's just like what is it? It's like a mixture of iced tea and raspberry green tea.
Ooh. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I felt like a genius the other week because for whatever reason I had leftover apple juice in my fridge. And so I made iced tea with apple juice instead of like lemonade like you would with an Arnold Palmer.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like a genius. It was delicious. And I was like, why don't they put other juice in iced tea? And then they do. You do. Everyone does. It's not that revolutionary.
Yeah, it's an Arnold Palmer, right?
Yeah, that's with lemonade. I think it's just lemonade.
Any juice mixed together is an Arnold Palmer.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know.
It should be. I don't know. Anyway, today, let's just get her right in here.
Should we bring our guest in?
Yeah. We have an interesting connection to this guest, don't we?
Well, we've been talking about this guest for a while now.
Yeah.
We've been demanding they come on the show, mm-hmm. insinuating that they eventually will.
Yeah, they've giving us the runaround. They're so busy. Her assistants really are a little bit annoying. But we finally locked her schedule down.
Yes.
And she's here today. It's Carol D. Ramos, a.k.a. Becca's mom.
Well, hi. For that, I didn't know if I was supposed to say right then and there this the whole thing. Hi, I am Becca's mom.
Hi. Or hello, Becca's mom. You're more than that. You have an identity, and I should remember that because it was my fault I started it. But Carol D, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Everything about the assistants was a joke, everybody. She's very nice and easy to get a hold of.
It's all good. So I'm here. I mean, this is kind of like the highlight of my week. I have to deal with 14-year-olds, honey. Mm. Yeah, don't like that. I really don't like them.
Why do you deal with 14-year-olds?
Honey, do you remember when you were 14?
No, why do you have to deal with them?
Oh, because I teach Spanish. My bad.
That's right. Yeah, I was a monster at 14.
14 is terrible. Terrible. Yeah. A terrible age.
At 13 and 14, you know, yesterday passed, so it doesn't exist. Tomorrow hasn't happened. It doesn't exist. They're living in the moment, like 30 mm-hmm. seconds at a time. Yeah. So it's just like, oh my God, drama.
It's also just most people go through like a really awkward phase during mm-hmm. those years. And it's just uncomfortable and you're self-conscious and angry.
Oh, absolutely. And you're trying to nurture them and you're trying to tell them that this too shall soon pass, but they don't see past the next 30 seconds and everything's like die, ride or die. Yeah. And, you know, I broke up with my boyfriend yesterday, but I have another one today.
I don't know about that life, but that sounds interesting.
Oh my God. It's just like, I am so confident. The boys are so cocky thinking, you know, and then the girls sometimes are so meek and I'm like, honey, own it. You need to just be strong. You know, boys are stupid, you know.
Boys are stupid.
They are.
I mean, not all stupid.
No. But men are stupid. I have one for 39. Everyone's stupid. I have one for 39 years, and I do love him, but some days.
I have one for 39 years.
Yes, 39. But some days, I do love him. Don't get me wrong. But
Some days.
Yeah, some days I just want to beat his head against the wall.
I hear that's normal.
Ask Becca.
Yeah.
Ask Becca. You know, she can agree. It takes a few.
Oh, no, Becca says in the chat.
Wait, what?
But I think a reason that I at least wanted you on the show is because, like, me and Anna talk about, like, we have so many comedians on or, like, feel like in the industry people. Mm-hmm. And we really like getting to talk to people that are just, like, doing good work that people forget about or, like, just different work that we're not used to talking about. And, like, I don't know. It's pretty badass that you teach 14-year-olds because I don't think a lot of people would.
Well, this is, like, my – I had many jobs before this career. Mm-hmm. So I was a waitress. I worked in L.A. at...
pause. Yeah. Let's rewind and talk about all of those things. First, tell us, where'd you grow up?
I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. Then my dad, he worked for Pan Am, which is used to be a huge airline, and they went bankrupt. He gave his life to Pan Am, but then they closed the station there. We ended up in San Francisco through my high school years. Then he moved to Houston and dragged me as an 18-year-old. I wanted to go to college and didn't happen. My parents did not go to college. I'm the only college graduate in my family.
Good for you.
That was delayed too. I didn't graduate till I was 40 years old. But before that, so he dragged us to Houston, kicking and screaming, was here, did meet my husband here who came from LA. He happens to be Puerto Rican. Never thought I'd marry a Puerto Rican man because that whole chauvinist, you know, thing. But since he grew up in LA, he had a lot of things that he wasn't as chauvinistic as like my brother and kind of stuff. So certain or my dad for certain things. So instead of going to college and doing that whole thing, I ended up getting married. We were married for like 10 years before kids came along.
Wow. That's a nice time, just the two of you.
Yeah. We lived in Houston. Then we both hated Houston, went to LA, had our kids in LA. And then all the immediate family ended up back in Houston. So we moved here reluctantly. Financially, it has been amazing. But we don't like it. It's too white. It's too too Republican. Too white. All kinds of stuff. But
that's enough. That's enough stuff to be bad.
But I do have to say, it was the right decision financially to have be able to raise a family in a place where it was. I mean, it wasn't always easy, but it was easier.
Yeah.
Financially speaking, you know, so stayed home, then went to college, then became a teacher. But before that, there was many jobs. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Sam Houston State University. First, I went to junior college.
Yeah.
When the kids started school full time, I started going to junior college, got my AA, then transferred to a 4-year state university. That was 75 miles away.
Oh, wow.
I drove to school every day and back.
Wow. That's a dedication.
Well, the kids were in school and I needed to be back. Yeah. I was not a traditional college student.
Yeah.
But you got it done and that's amazing.
The other day I saw my GPA because of a transcript. 3.43, almost a 3.5.
That's great.
Or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Applause. I'm not going to clap on the mic, but.
It was hard though.
Yeah. How did you work, like do your homework and stuff when you came home to deal with the kids?
So it was hard. So I got up like at 5, went to school, like back to back classes, 8 to like 2:30.
Wow.
Because, you know, trying to get from point A to point B in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
And then picked up the kids at school, did that whole mommy thing after school, the whole snack, dinner, homework. Put them to bed. Homework did not happen till like 9-10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Till like 1 o'clock in the morning to get up at 5 to do it all over again.
Oh my gosh.
But Ray was really good with the kids in the morning. He would take them to school or whatever needed be. It truly took a village for me to actually graduate college. So
yeah,
a couple of friends helped in the pinch who are no longer friends, which is, I don't know.
Oh, that's
not by my choice. A lot of them, their choice, but whatever. But, you know, it took a village and I did it. And then, you know, here we are, fast forward, you know, now almost 20 years. So
were you always interested in teaching when you were going to college or?
Hell no.
No?
Hell
so tell us
no.
what you were thinking when you first were like, I'm going to go to college now.
When I was in high school, I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I wanted to be a criminal attorney. I really did. Or entertainment law. That's what, you know. Mm. But when the kids were in school and I had started this school journey going and getting my degree, I saw the need because I was a homeroom mom. I was at school, you know, whenever they needed me, even though I was going to school. I saw the need for bilingual educators.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to have the same schedule as my children. It was strictly selfish reasons. I did not want to put my children in daycare. I wanted to be able to be home when they were home.
Yeah.
And I saw the need for bilingual educators. So it did give me the opportunity to do that. I was never, so my kids never went to daycare. They were never babysat by anybody else. That whole Latino thing about you don't let your children be babysat other than family members. It's true. The only person that babysat my kids was Becca's abuela, or grandmother, if you didn't know Spanish. and our two friends that helped me end up helping us out while I was going to college and Ray was working and that kind of stuff. But that was it, you know. And now, fast forward, I have 2 years before retirement, but who's counting?
Who's counting?
I am, honey. 2 more August.
There's like a thing on your wall, like a tally thing.
Oh, it's
like every.
No. Hopefully. I just found out that next year I have to start the process. Apparently it takes the whole year to start the process of retirement.
Oh.
So whatever.
That's a
I know,
very long time.
Yes. I don't know why. Don't ask me. I just read this. So I don't know.
What is the first thing you want to do when you retire?
I don't know, not have to worry about getting up to, I don't sleep in, like I sleep in, don't get me wrong, but I'm not like an 11 o'clock or yeah. I, you know, 8 o'clock, but not having to worry about grades. The worst thing about teaching is the grading. I don't mind the teaching. And the administration, you know, like they forget that they were teachers once. But the grading, it just sucks. Grading.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, Anna did all her work this week. She answered my questions every time I did this, and Shireen did too. I think you deserve a 95 for this week's effort. And I think that's the grade I should give you. But no, I have to go on these stupid tests and they have to be rigid and
you know, that's frustrating.
Especially with a foreign language. I don't know if you all speak a second language, but trying to learn a second language at this age is the hardest part. Like if you were to take up wanting to learn a language, then it's your choice and you put that much effort in it.
Yeah.
But at this age, it's hard. We can't even get them to have the time bathe correctly. So I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine having to grade.
Oh,
if you have like multiple classes.
Oh, yes. And multiple levels of teaching. Like I teach Spanish speakers and I teach non-Spanish speakers. So two different classes. And I'm not going to lie. Some days I'm like, I'm not going to read that. I'll just skim it. And I think you hit all the points I think you deserve.
I like support that.
A 78.
I mean, like, we all know that this is not like a novel thing, but like teachers are so underpaid and y'all work so hard, and it makes me so mad that you're not treated as well as, like, I don't know, at the very least a cop or something. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is that there's no respect nowadays for the profession, and I think the salary wouldn't affect you so much if you had respect. But in my whatever 19 years of teaching, I have seen that the level of respect between students and parents towards educators keeps dwindling. And I think that's the hardest part for me as a person, because, you know, why do you have the right to, let's say, you know, go off on me or not follow the rules, or you don't think your little angel does anything wrong? But if I then go and tell you the truth, then I'm in the wrong. Why? Why is it that you can say whatever to me, but we can't say the truth to you? You know, I'm constantly hiding behind my truth. And I don't do that very well.
No, of course not. I mean, I don't. The lack of respect definitely is the worst part, for sure. Because even thinking back, there's definitely like, it's treated almost as like a hierarchy, and like the parents are the customers and the customers are always right, you know, and that's not fair. It's not fair.
And I don't know. And then when they throw in your face, well, I pay your salary. Well, bitch, I also pay taxes. So I pay my own goddamn salary. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Let's just, you know, quid pro quo here, you know? Yeah. And so that's, I think, the hardest part sometimes. And the rules, the administration, like, this is why the problem keeps getting worse. Because we can't seem to hold anybody responsible for their actions, but yet I'm supposed to teach that to the children. It's really hard someday, but you know, that's the nature of this beast. But I hated it. I did not want to be a teacher. No,
I mean, in a perfect world, or maybe in the same world years from now, teaching is seen as like the amazing job that it is, and is compensated fairly and respected, because education would be a different experience if that was the case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, and this whole thing about testing children to death, I go, why can't we just take it? My philosophy is, you don't need a formal test in order to assess that this child has learned.
Yeah.
You can do this, you know, informally, still testing them, but not instead. I don't know if in California, because when I went to school in California, we did not have state testing. I don't know if they currently have state testing in California, but in Texas, it's a real freaking issue. Ask Becca. So, and in middle school, they have, you know, like eighth graders now have like core classes and then finals. Really? Why do we have to have state testing and regular finals when if you were to be able to just teach and you give them a final exam that's comprehensive, why isn't that enough? You know, you either pass or fail because you learn, but your education should not be hindering on the state test that you barely need a 70 to pass, you know, and as a teacher. So If you were teaching, Anna, whatever subject like podcasting or whatever it is that you were doing, the real true test is, or Shireen, the real true test is that you have learned. I was thinking the real true test is that you took somebody, you taught them how to do it, and now they can tell you what they have learned.
Right.
And that's a true wisdom, I think, from a student-teacher ratio.
Yeah.
But we don't have that freedom anymore.
No.
We, you know, thank God that I'm not a core class, but I, well, it's a double-edged sword. I am not a core class, but I am a state-required class for graduation.
Well, that's what I thought. Like, we all had to take a language.
Yes.
So it's, you're basically a core class, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do it by myself. Like, I teach reading, writing, speaking, and listening. Where in English, you know, everything else, okay, so, but you have math is in English and science is in English and social studies is in English, where I have that encompassed of that whole thing. So,
That's a lot. That's a lot. I just feel, I hate that there's no real solution in sight.
No.
And that makes me very frustrated because it's like, I don't know, it's not getting better. And that's just so disheartening. Before I start ranting again, let's take our first break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And we are back with Carol D.
I'm curious about the different jobs. I don't know if that
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So talk us through all of that. I would love to know.
So my parents were big on education through like high school and all of that. My parents did not go to college. They had some schooling after high school, but not anything that was degreed or even certified. Okay, kind of thing. So my dad was pretty young. He started working for the airline. My mom, I think, wanted to be like in fashion designing, and that didn't happen. They got married and had, you know, three of us. And then, so to me, education was always, you know, you have to have A's and B's, you know, and that kind of stuff. So the natural progression is I want to go to college, and that didn't happen. So when I moved to Texas, I got here, so I'm trying to find this myself all on my own because my parents did not know how to do it. And I get to Texas and I'm one day late for college late registration. So then I had to get a job because I'm an 18-year-old. You know, what am I going to do? Not work or whatever. So
right.
I got a job in an office working like accounts payable and receivables. Hated it. In an oil and gas company.
No.
Yes. So then when I could, I finally enrolled in college, but then I was disillusioned because I hated Texas. So I kept taking classes, dropping out, you know, how junior college is. So you enrolled and you drop and you enrolled and you drop.
Yeah.
So ended up getting married. And so I worked, let me see. So right after I got married, I worked as a cashier at a grocery store. I worked as a waitress for TGI Fridays Corporation here. And then I transferred to L.A. when we moved to L.A. And on the Emmy Awards building at the bottom floor, there used to be a restaurant called Dalt's, which is it was like an old fashioned diner. It was owned by TGI Fridays, but it was like a different concept. So I went there and I helped open it. And I was like a waitress and trainer. And living in L.A., nobody is a waiter. Everybody's an actor,
a dancer, a model, a singer,
a model, a magician. So I was the only real waitress.
Yeah.
I was the only real waitress working there. Then I worked for Marriott Corporation as a secretary to the human resources director. And then he left and I got some woman. God, women are awful to work for. So I quit there and got a, and in the meantime, I kept working on and off as a waitress because Ray decided to go to college and finish his college career. He also graduated late in life. And then, so I quit Marriott and worked to work for the courthouse in LA. I worked for the municipal court systems at Van Nuys Courthouse and San Fernando Courthouse. I worked small claims, criminal, traffic. I saw quite a few. So Rodney King, you've heard of him? Rodney King. Okay. He came into my courtroom. I saw him when he came in.
Oh, my God.
Right after he was arrested and, like, looked at and whatever. That's where he got a ring.
Oh, my God.
It was not pretty.
I can't even imagine.
It was heartbreaking. So I saw that. Rick James. The singer.
Yeah.
That was in my courtroom. Also.
Holy shit. That's fun.
OJ Simpson.
Oh my God.
His criminal folder file. I had it in my hand when he first got arraigned, arrested.
Holy shit, Carol D. What the hell?
You've seen every LA.
I know. Wait. I got one better for you. Pregnant with my first child. Was it with Elijah? Yeah. Pregnant with Elijah. I almost was picked on the jury panel for the Menendez brothers.
Wow.
I know.
Anna and I's mouths just dropped open.
Menendez brothers? That's wild.
The Menendez brothers, which my husband happened to work with some friends of theirs because we worked at the Marriott in Woodland Hills. The Warner Center Marriott. So a lot of his posh friends worked there. Mm. But I was about... when I was due in October, and this was like the summer. So you know how you kind of look fat and then all of a sudden you look pregnant? Well, you maybe not know because I don't know if you have kids. But so I'm doing my due diligence because I am a court clerk. So you're supposed to, you know, you get a civil court, you still have to show up for jury duty.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, I don't know, round 15 of the voir dire system. And I get up, we went to lunch and came back and then the defense or the prosecution, I can't remember if it was the defense or the prosecution, but they go, I know we're not supposed to be asking this, but are you pregnant? I go, yes. And when are you due? Aww. And I go, I was due in October. And they go, are you aware that this trial might take more than 6 months? And I go, yes, but again, I am a court clerk and this is my civil duty. And they go, well, you're dismissed. So I got dismissed from that one. It was pretty weird. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then had babies, quit work for 8 years, stayed home and then went to college and became a teacher.
Wow. So, what a life. What a life you led.
So, a little bit of everything. Yeah. A little bit of everything. So that's why I tell my students, I go, this shall too shall pass. You don't know. You don't
you never know.
You never know what's going to happen. And now I'm ready to, I don't know what, I'm not ready to quit working full time. I mean, I'm ready to quit working full time as a teacher.
Yeah.
I think I would like a little part time job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to
do
something.
Do you have any like inklings of what you want to, what you're interested in?
I think I want to do something with immigration.
Oh, nice.
I really want to use my bilingual skills to help the immigrant population, whether I don't know in what capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I first thought that I might want to be like a patient advocate at a hospital, but then COVID has hit.
Yeah.
I don't want to step inside a hospital.
Right. That changes things.
I just don't know. As a matter of fact, I went and got my second booster today.
I was going to ask, do you have a Band-Aid?
Yes. Yeah. I got a notification over the weekend saying people 60 and over should consider getting a second booster.
Yeah.
So I went to the pharmacy today. I'm not 60 quite yet, but I'm only just a few months short of my 60th birthday. So, and I look damn good, but still.
You do. You do.
And so I went and the pharmacist says, yeah, you should, especially you're a teacher. You're exposed more because, you know, kids and all that. And we live here where nobody thinks the mask is. Anyway,
God, that would make me so mad all the time.
I wear my mask all the time. I'm a little sometimes don't wear it as often in my classroom because I have distance. But if I don't know the kid or they come really close to me, I put it back on. But if I know that
they're not wearing masks.
Yeah. A lot of them do still. I do.
Oh, it's their choice.
It's choice. And I do have to say, since I teach eighth graders, a lot of them were vaccinated.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have had also COVID or been exposed to COVID. I work in a school that low income ratio is really high.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents, you know, Hispanic population is really high. And as you know, they have been hit hard because of the type of jobs that they have and stuff. So, you know, but I do have to say now in the spring has been a little bit less. But like at the beginning of the school year, I would say that I had like 95% of my students were wearing masks all the time.
Wow, that's
you know.
Good.
And now they don't wear them correctly all the time.
That would infuriate me. Now, I walk around, and when I see someone's nose sticking out of their mask, like I get irrationally angry. It's so annoying.
It is. I go, why are you wearing it? So I tell them, I either wear it or don't wear it. Yeah. I go, it's not a chin holder.
Also, it looks stupid. Like, it just, like, you look stupid.
Yes.
God.
Yes. So, you know. But, you know, so something with immigration, I think immigration reform is a thing that it's going to take forever or never is going to get fixed. But I think I can hopefully help in some way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So
I like that.
So who knows? Or I just want to sit in my couch and read and cook. That's all I want to do.
Support both things. Yes.
Yeah.
So, wherever life takes you. Anna, do you ever what your question you had?
Well, it was about testing.
Oh, tell me.
I don't know. Well, when I was in high school, we had that like standardized.
Yes. Testing.
It was called like STAR or something like that. STAR testing.
I forgot about
that. Were you raised here in Texas?
No, that was California.
Oh, they also call them STAR testing in California.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they call them here.
Is that, Rebecca says in Texas we do tax?
Honey, they changed it after you graduated. Now it's STAR. Yeah.
Okay, so then, I'm 31. I'm a little older than Becca.
Yeah.
Right, Becca? What age did you just turn?
27.
I think it was tax up until, like, graduated high school, and they changed it to STAR.
Okay.
But I think the national standard was moving to STAR. But in Texas, for many years, it was a tax STAR.
It was tax. It was before that, it was TASP, T-A-S-P, TASP test. And then it was tax test. And now STAR test. And I'm like, oh my Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I always had STAR. Like my whole life.
We did
STAR. But I'm curious, does that actually, like, what did that do for schools? Because I remember they said if you did well, they gave the school money.
Yes, it's all a fucking racket about goddamn money. You know, this thing.
Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
I think that in attendance is one of the things that, you know, the fucking government has the public schools by the balls. So attendance is really important. So if you're a truant student, you know, they don't, the state doesn't get, the school doesn't get the allotted money from you, Shireen, because you're never in class. So
how did you know?
You know, so if you're not in class, then the state doesn't pay the school your money, whatever X amount of pennies on the dollar they are.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then this is why important attendance is, because then if not, they need to drop your ass out of school because you're costing the school money by being enrolled.
Wow, I never thought of it that way. Yes. Where it's like, we're kicking you out for the benefit of these ratios.
Absolutely, yes. It has nothing to do with we wanting to make you a better learner.
Learn you know, your lesson.
Or not be, you know, a 25-year-old reading at a third grade level. But, you know, or that kind of stuff. So attendance has to do with financing, and so does star testing. From the people who produce it to the distribution to whatever it is. And now this year, new thing that we just went through training a few days ago, is now they're doing online testing. The kids are having they don't want to have online testing. I go, you would think it's easier, but I can understand not. I go, so I don't know. So it's 4 hours now versus, I don't know, when you guys went to school, it was the whole day. You had the whole day.
I remember it taking a long time. I don't remember the exact amount of
hours. Were you the
hours.
Sleeper in the classroom that I had to, you know, the teacher had to keep waking you up? So now it's 4 hours. You either finish in 4 hours or you don't finish in 4 hours.
I remember it. You would they would just take a whole week where every day you would do testing all day.
Yeah.
Well, and now in middle school and junior high that I teach, there are 9 freaking days of testing because the 6th graders have to be tested on English and math. And so do the 7th graders. So that's 4 tests right there. And then the 8th graders have to be tested in math, English, science, and history. So that's 8 tests. And then there's the extra test that if you're overachiever in math and you're taking algebra as an 8th grader, then you can take that test.
Interesting.
And now it used to be that there was makeup days, so for whatever, like a few, now there's only 1 makeup day. So if you don't come on the day of star testing, and it's mandatory, it's not optional, even if your parent tells you it's optional, that's a lie. So you only have whatever day they designate to make up that day for you to take that test. And if you don't, then you fail. And I don't know now what's going to happen, like as an 8th grader, let's say you were sick. I don't know. There's a caveat. They didn't tell us that. So you guys are sick. You didn't come in on the day of testing. You were still sick on the day of the makeup test. So now you automatically fail. So I don't know how you're going to start high school. Are they going to put you in remedial?
That is such bullshit.
It used to be that they used to have a makeup test over the summer, but they're saying that they're not going to have that. So I don't know what's going to happen to my freshmen. So I've been telling them, don't be sick. Don't be sick. Take the test.
Yeah.
Don't be sick.
That's so idiotic. That's even something you have to tell them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I have a whole other spiel that I'm not going to get into. Just about testing in general and like what kind of intelligence is valued and how, I don't know. It's just like, it's not education. I don't consider that education at all.
Yeah. Do you all have test anxiety? Like I am a smart person. Okay. I'm not going to deny that. I am very intelligent. I'm very capable. I'm a quick learner, but I have horrible test anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, always have. Multiple choice test anxiety because I didn't grow up taking multiple choice tests. Give me a good old, let me fill in the blank short answer because I can bullshit my way through anything.
Yes, I feel the same way. Yeah.
But give me an ABCD. And I want to, and I question myself. I mean, even my, the state licensing test, what they call the professional, the PPR test, like I took it and I failed the first time because it's a theory test. But at the time I was working. So I'm like reading all these questions. I go, well, that's not the fucking thing we do in school. You know, so I failed it the first time because I needed to take it as a theory test. And nobody told me that shit. So then I took it the second time and I passed. But it was like, okay. And then I challenged the content area test for Spanish because I go, I fucking just graduated with a degree in Spanish. I am not going to take a class for you to tell me to take a content area test.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I don't know. I think testing, yeah. I think we're testing our children too much. And then you send them out there. You're testing them to death, but you're not teaching them any skills. They can't.
Exactly.
I am a true believer that school should be at least teaching them how to balance it. Well, not balance a checkbook per se, but like your bank account. We know, mm-hmm. you know, nobody has a checking account anymore, but well, we do. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You need to learn how to like balance your bank account. You need to know how to know about your credit card. What does it affect?
So finance intelligence in general. It's just like,
We send them out there. I think we try, I don't know, ask Becca. We try to do a fairly good job about that. And although I hate how much school loans we have for our children because we push them into going, we want them to go traditional track because my husband and I did not do that traditional track. Mm-hmm. But the one good thing I have to say, I think, about school loans is that we didn't have extra money for them. So whatever was left over from their school loan that they had to live on for that semester, it taught them how to budget. You know, like you, after the school was paid for and whatever, this is what you have to live on. We can help you a little, or we'll help you, of course, we'll figure it out. But this is the amount. So you need to figure out if this is your entertainment money, your food budget money, your rent money. And that was, you know, I think it helped. I don't know, Becca, you chime in on that. I don't know if you learned that from that, but I think that was the only good thing about the school loans.
I mean, I guess there's a silver lining to everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's and this, don't even get me started on the cost of higher education.
No, I mean, we'll be here all day if we even get started there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have to come back and just have an episode where we vent about everything.
I think Biden needs to forgive parent loans too, not just student loans, but
Loans in general. Just this whole country is.
If you can give money, and I'm not saying Ukraine doesn't need money. I'm not, you know, I think whatever. But can we take care of our own crises here first before help somebody else that's in crisis? So, you know,
it's just so silly. Like, even seeing people here in LA that are like so torn up about like people losing their homes, and I'm like, there's a huge homeless crisis here. You know what I mean? Or unhoused crisis. And like, I really care about international events.
Yes.
I'm someone that is affected by them. My friends are affected by them. But it's just really like performative to me when something really pulls at your heartstrings. One, publicly on the internet, but like two, about certain things that seem to be trendy versus things that actually like are impacting humans everywhere and next to you and everything.
Beck and I took a mother-daughter vacation this summer. We went to Puerto Rico for a week. And the last time I have been there was 2010 for the summer. We were there like 2.5 weeks, which is amazing. Becca had since gone before I did. And my heart was really heavy. As much as I had a great time. It was best vacation. We did a lot of stuff and wish it would have been another 7 days, you know, kind of thing. But here we are. Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the infrastructure in Puerto Rico is so horrible. And the metropolitan areas, we took a drive down up the coast and down south, and it was really, you know, like you say, somebody might have not attacked it like in a bombing, but you know, Hurricane Maria destroyed the island and no support. I mean, no financial support, and there's a lot of stuff that still needs to be fixed there. You know, like you say, LA's homeless population is huge. You know, it just anywhere, any metropolitan city that you see, you know, you go here to the capital, to Austin. And, you know, when we had taken Becca for a college tour, there was this homeless man right next to the building that she might have been. I go, I don't want my little 18-year-old next to these, you know, because you're afraid. And we're not, what are we doing about that? What are we doing, you know, about that? That's another topic, too. So.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. I mean, it's just like, I always boil it down to like this core lack of empathy for another life. Yeah. Like that's what it always boils down to me, like how selfish or like narrow your life could be, where it's like you have no desire to even understand that the world does not revolve around you.
Yes, because Americans are selfish. They don't see, well, we are born and raised here and this is our land. I go, well, you took it over. But they don't see the picture that there's life outside of the state that you live in or the city that you live in, because they are unschooled. They haven't traveled anywhere.
Yeah.
They have not gone anywhere outside their little bubble. And if they have, they've gone with privilege.
Yeah. So, and if something doesn't affect them, then it's not happening, like almost. So, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry. Before we get too off topic, let's take a quick break. And I have a question for you ready to go when we get back. So don't go anywhere.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And we're back. Carol D, I'm curious how you met Ray. I love these kinds of stories. I would love to know how you met Ray. If you're comfortable sharing.
No, it's a hilarious story. Or I think it's hilarious. I don't know if he thinks it's hilarious.
Becca is laughing in the chat, so
I don't know if she's heard. She's probably heard the story. It was a Christmas Eve. It was at a Christmas party of a friend kind of thing. And I had met his parents prior to meeting him, because here in Houston, there was a small community of people that work for Pan Am, and we're all kind of like live like next to each other, like in the same community, and we gather with each other. And I don't know if you know, Puerto Rico, Christmas is really big, like the whole, you know, roasted pig and the fan and the liquor and the coquito and all that. You need to have some of that. Anyway, Puerto Rican eggnog beats any type of eggnog. So if you hear the word coquito, just so you know, it's like, drink it up.
I'll keep that in mind, because I've never actually had eggnog, I don't think.
So. I don't like eggnog, but it's what people consider the Puerto Rican version of eggnog, which is way better. But anyway, I digress. Christmas party, whatever. And I had met his parents before, and his mom was like trying to like pawn this man off. Oh, you know, I have a son who's 23, whatever. I was 18 at the time. And I'm like, okay, what? I go, I just moved here. I'm going to college. I'm going to be a lawyer. I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I go, and what is wrong with this man that his mom is trying to pawn him off of somebody, you know, probably whatever. So I met him, and my husband is like the total, he can be very funny and gregarious, but he's very introverted. Mm. Okay. So I am definitely not introverted. Okay. So I saw him at a party and met him. I'm like, okay, whatever. So then it took him forever. He asked me out and we kind of started dating. And that
when you saw him at the party, were you like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe he's not so bad.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's not so bad and whatever. So, but again, he took him forever to ask me and whatever, because we kept gathering and we kept gathering at these family like events, parties, mm-hmm, kind of thing, house parties kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so he finally asked me to go out with him and we started dating. And then my dad was like, no, you can't date him. He's too much like me. He only wants one thing. You know, I'm from the street.
That's very disturbing that he said, he's just like me. All he wants is one thing from your dad.
Yeah. 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 Because at that time, my husband did drink and did smoke. Mm-hmm. And my dad drank and smoked, mm-hmm, which is funny. And I said, I'd never marry or, you know, go out with a person who, I was like very anti-drinking and smoking and all that kind of stuff. But here we are. We started dating and all of that. And then he broke my heart. He broke up with me. Because
Ray!
He's 5 years older than me. Oh, so, wow. And he already had lived a few girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, the next woman. So it was kind of like the progression of a relationship where they're, you love somebody. So either you progress with like, or at least in my time, because, you know, things have evolved, like you either move in together or you get engaged. The progression is going towards marriage kind of thing.
Right.
So we had kind of like dated and it was kind of like that. And he had promised himself that the next woman he would live with would have to be his wife, that he would never live with another woman unless it was his wife. So we broke up and then it got weird with all the family members and people. Oh. Like if they invited his family, they would not invite us. And Ray and I were like, okay, yeah, he broke my heart, but we were okay. You know, it was, you know, and then we kind of started seeing each other on the slide. We didn't tell anybody. Oh. I invited him to my girlfriend was having a Halloween costume party and I didn't always have all this, you know. I love food, you know. I was at one time before children skinny, and so I dressed up as a Playboy bunny and people.
Cute.
I know,
Carol,
I know.
D.
I know, because you know it was the 80s.
Yeah,
you know who would, you know. So not that I would do it now, but you know. So
they were big for a while. They were like the thing to do. Yeah, yes. Or not do or whatever. You know what I mean.
And if you have it, flaunt it. Kind of was my philosophy. Yeah, yeah. So I had it. I flaunted it. So we kind of started dating again, but we didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And then, I went to go visit,
what was he at the costume party?
I don't remember.
That's funny. I don't remember your own costume, yeah. But his, you're like, didn't matter.
Because, you know,
probably got his attention at the very least.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. 5-inch stiletto heels,
yeah.
You know, black bodysuit. You know, what is little bunny ears? What is there not to, you know, when, you know, I don't remember what he was, but anyway, ended up girlfriend covered for me, spend the weekend with the now husband. So we started dating, but we didn't tell anybody. Then all of a sudden I went to go visit my brother in North Carolina. He was in the service and out of the blue, he asked me to marry him and over the phone. It wasn't a very romantic thing. It was kind of shocking. I did say yes. I hung up the phone. Didn't think it was real because came back to Texas. So while I was gone, he apparently asked my parents, did all the things about all of that. And so I said yes, hung up the phone, came to Texas. But then he went on vacation that same day that I arrived.
What?
So I didn't think it was real because he already had planned it, you know.
I know, it was just pretty funny.
So it was pretty funny. And then, so we planned this wedding and he goes, you have 3 months to marry me. And what? I'm like, what? So put a wedding fly by night, 3 months. So what did the progression? Everybody thought I was pregnant.
Because it was so rushed.
It was so rushed and nobody knew.
Yeah. Why was he in a rush? Why was he wanting to live with someone?
Because he made a fucking decision. You know, men, they're stupid. They make a decision and all of a sudden they have like, oh, the light bulb went off.
Yeah.
So I should have stood my ground and go, no, I should wait. But anyway, put the wedding together, got married. Everybody thought I was pregnant. 10 years later, on our wedding anniversary, found out that we're pregnant with our first child.
Wow.
But at that time, everybody gave us a year. You know, my dad goes, it won't last a year.
And, wow. Because you guys had already broken up before, or like, was there other reasons?
Yeah. No, I think he was just, you know, like he at first was like, he's not good for you. He's not good enough for you. Mm. I don't have money to give you a wedding. I go, well, that's not my fault. Nobody's asking you to pay for the wedding. You know, that whole traditional.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what order in the sibling thing are you?
I'm the middle child.
Okay, me too.
I am the smart child.
We have our own gifts. Middle children, we're overlooked, but we make it work. We survive.
Yes, in that hierarchy is like, okay, I will never be the oldest, and I'm not a male-born son, you know, oldest child. I don't know what culture you're from, but in Hispanic culture, you know, your first child should be a male.
Oh, yeah. You know, whatever. Syrian culture is similar for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then my baby sister, she's the baby and adored by my dad.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We always have to fight for what we have. So,
But so you were the first girl that was married off, I guess.
My brother got married, like a year before or so, right after he got into the Air Force. And then I got married and then went off, you know, I worked, I got married, I moved, we bought a house, whatever. We did all that thing together and, you know, decided to leave Texas, went to LA, did all of that good stuff. And then in the meantime, my sister stayed here and lived with my parents and did nothing. So she barely graduated high school. And all the rules went out the door.
Damn. My youngest sister was raised completely differently. She's so different than me as far as like confidence and how she was supported and her skills because she was just encouraged to do everything. And it makes me so sad about the person I could have been if I had that.
But I think you're amazing. Different story. I think you're amazing. I think what you have accomplished and what you are doing. This is not easy what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm in awe of Becca and the risk that she had, and not because she's my child, but just in the short time that she has graduated from college and the risk that she has taken. And, as a mom, as a teacher, as a Girl Scout, I was her Girl Scout leader and all of that. I want women or young women to be strong and independent and be able to take care of themselves. And I think you are living that. And one thing I always told Beck, I go, make sure that, you know, if you have a man, I mean, you don't need a man to live. And I don't know if she remembers this, but I remember saying it. It's like, I hope that in whatever you do, you always know that you have to be able to support yourself by yourself. It took me a long time to be able to say that. If something, God forbid, would happen to my husband, for the longest time, I was dependent on him. I wasn't college educated. I didn't have, you know, a career that I had chosen. I had jobs, you know, I had skills, you know, but I could never say that I probably would have done so if I needed to, but I cannot say that I could have like supported myself based on a career choice that was my choice.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, so, you know, strong, independent young women. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Sometimes I think I'm independent to a fault because I'm a little too alone all the time, but there is the upside of me being like, wow, I don't need anybody.
So this is your choice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you are such a joy to talk to. I'm trying to think of like another good segue we can do for this last part. Do you have any questions, Anna?
Yeah. I mean, so, after you guys got married and, where did you want to raise your kids? Like, where was your ideal place that you were actually hoping to raise your kids? Because you said you didn't love Texas, but financially it made sense. But, like, where would have been your ideal location to have a family?
I think California.
Yeah,
if we could have afforded California, and I mean, I think we probably would have been able to make it work. I don't know, because people do it every day, you know, and I really like California. I don't necessarily think that I would have wanted to raise my children in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
As much as you can ask Becca, I am a diehard Puerto Rican. I love my country.
Yeah.
I love, and people go country. I go, yes, it is a country.
Yeah. That's so annoying to hear.
Yes, because they go, well, you know, you're a U.S. citizen. I go, yeah, but I wasn't born here in the United States. I love my country. I love my island. I am, you know, I love my culture. But I also think that my mom forcing my dad to move to the United States was a better choice. So California, I loved everything about California. There was nothing. I lived in San Francisco for 4.5 years. I lived in LA for 12 years. What is there not to love other than you can't love the earthquake? But
yeah, but everywhere has their things. I mean, earthquakes I'd rather have than tornadoes. You know what I mean? Like, as far as natural disasters go and where you are.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, Becca just said in college one time, she had a professor ask her if she spoke Puerto Rican.
What the hell? Yeah, I'm like, are you a fucking college professor?
Stupid.
Yeah, you can't fix stupid. I tell my
college professor.
Yeah, exactly. A college professor. What is that supposed to mean? You know, yeah. Like, you know, a lot of people still, not until recently, you know, I go, yeah, Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. Okay, not that we're treated that way, but yeah. And I go, well, you don't need a passport to come back. I go, no. I go, I have an American passport. So why you say you're Puerto Rican? I go, I wasn't born in the continental USA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you ask in a Hawaiian where they're from, they're Hawaiian first.
Yeah.
They're American second. I go, Alaska, the same thing. You're not, you know, I go, you. It, yeah, I constantly teach history before I teach Spanish. But I think California would have been, I think, the ideal place. I really, my husband and I love it. I mean, if Becca ends up in California, I think she's going to have a little guest house for her parents to take care of her parents in her old age.
I'll remind her when she's.
So whenever she moves to LA, her house has to have either big enough rooms that we can coexist in the same home or a little guest bungalow in the back.
Yeah, you know, that's not too much to ask. Come on.
$17 million for just, you know, a 3-bedroom house in LA. I think California would have been a great choice. I don't think I'm not necessarily saying like Los Angeles area, but just in general, California. My husband was raised in LA and then Valley. He moved to the Valley, or Sepulveda, or now they call it Mission Hill. Uh-huh. Formerly known as Sepulveda. He went to Monroe High School, James Monroe High School in Sepulveda and stuff. So, you know, Becca and Elijah were born in Northridge. So, you know, so I think California would have been the ideal choice, not Texas ever.
No,
don't come here. I mean, come here to visit and get your idea of what cowboy culture is. Don't ever settle here. I do have to say, financially, it was a great decision. There's no way that we would have accomplished what we have accomplished had we been in LA at that time. But to settle here for the rest of our lives, it just.
When you retire, would you ever consider moving somewhere else?
Yeah, where Becca ends up.
Yeah.
Wherever
I'm excited
Becca goes.
For you.
Wow. Wherever Becca goes, we go. I think if we're retired.
Wait, Becca, I forget. What order is Becca in as far as siblings go?
She's the baby. There's two. There's only two.
Okay.
There's her brother, and they're 18 months apart. So not that much separation in years. But my son has, he's bought a house here already with his fiance. So they're
not. So he came back. Did he leave and come back? Did he like, does he, no?
No. He graduated here and schooled here and all that. So no, he's not leaving Texas.
So he likes it.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, good for him.
You know, or he likes it enough because of his fiance. So, So wherever Becca ends up, she's gonna, like I said, she's gonna have to put us in the suitcase, and bring us with her, and we'll take, you know, I mean, financially, we'll help you too. We'll sell the house here and take our winnings with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the ideal. I mean, especially as I get older, it's really important to me to be close to my parents, you know, or like just have them closer than far. But families, it's obvious that family is really important to you too. Yeah. If like
I'm with my mom, like she lives like 3 miles down the road. She's still on her own apartment, but this house, now that the kids are not here, she's going to end up here probably sooner rather than later. She's 82. Mm-hmm. And which is something my husband and I were talking recently. I go, and his parents had just recently passed away. My father-in-law, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and my mother-in-law just 2 years ago. But they were quite elderly. Like my father-in-law was almost 90. My mother-in-law was 92. Mm-hmm. You know, Becca's going to have us around hopefully for a long time. My grandmother was 96.
Wow.
My great-grandmother was 100.
Good genes. What the hell?
And she said, the funny part about her is that she died in 1981 and she wasn't sick. She just said she was tired.
She
called the family and said, if you guys want to make sure and say goodbye, come today because tomorrow I'm not waking up.
And that happened?
And that happened. I know. I'm not making this shit up. I'm telling you.
She was like, I've done enough. Now's your time.
That's incredible.
She was 100 years old. We were in San Francisco. I mean, no, we had just moved here to Texas. So we weren't here very long, but I couldn't go. But, you know, we can just get a flight out, you know, that quickly.
Yeah.
And, but the family that was in the island, you know, they go, well, if you want to come, you know, so they all call out, you know, you know, or, you know, it wasn't like a group text message anymore. And and sure enough, I mean, she was going blind because she had cataracts.
Yeah.
And she was hard of hearing because she was old. But other than that, she didn't have any, like, she didn't have cancer or any of that. She just said she was tired.
Wow.
And that she didn't want to wake up.
She said, wrap it up. Didn't. We got to go.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So.
Well. Good for her.
Yeah, what a badass.
Yeah, she was. I was like, and when we went to Puerto Rico, we went to the outside of where my family grew up in San Juan, in the capital, on my mom's side. And we saw the building and it just kind of like brought all those memories and stuff. And I'm like, you know, dying on your own terms is the good thing.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to go. I'm going to be just like her. And I'll be like, guys, it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Catch me in my bed. The second those eyes close, you missed your chance.
I'm out of here.
This will be my final rest.
I'm out.
I love that. That's a true rest in peace. That's actually what that's supposed to mean.
It's like, you know, and but yeah, so I told, so Becca's just going to have to like, we'll pack up our suitcases and move in, you know, in her little closet or whatever it is. So she'll just have to bring mom and dad with her.
Becca, you have 2 years at the very least, so get it together. No pressure.
I think it's interesting, though, that like so, you know, when older people want to go, like they literally hold on until they see the last person they want to see. Like you almost can like sense it, that they were like just waiting to see that son or the brother or whatever, the cousin. Yeah. And then they just... They're like, I'm only here because your idiot cousin takes forever to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And as soon as he shows up and says his piece, I'm out. it's pretty incredible.
And there's something to be said about taking control of, like, you didn't have control how you got here, but taking control how you're going to leave and what your mark in life is going to be. So it's all, you know.
Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to get through every day and try to teach these children that there's more to life than just, you know, what's in front of them. And just, you know, every day it's a struggle. Trying to enlighten them a little bit to, I do see hope with the, as bad as they are, oh my God, and as self-centered and TikTok-y,
I forgot about that element of the new generation.
Oh my God. I do have to say that they are a lot more open-minded.
Oh yeah, Gen Z is incredible. They want to hear and they want to like feel and they want to like help. And you're like,
there's no boundaries as far as like gender and
exactly. You know what I mean? They do need to learn the word boundaries in a different aspect. Mm-hmm. I like that they have no boundaries in their empathy to want to resolve the world's problems, mm-hmm. which, you know, gets harder and harder and harder, and that they are definitely more open-minded. Not all of them here in Texas, but
but no, what you mean? Yeah,
you know, this is definitely, you know, a red state, not a blue state. So, you know, and it's hard, but I do see that they are more open-minded and that they are trying to navigate through things that some of us, you know, we were never talked about things, and you just did what you were supposed to do because that's what you were told to do. There was no explanation.
Yeah.
They're more risk takers in certain aspects and bucking the norm, and you know, had I known then what I know now kind of thing, philosophy. You know, so I there is some hope. It, you know, it's hard to see it, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, so
I would have loved having a teacher like you. It would have been your
It's just I think I'm kind of good at my job. I am not perfect at my job, but I don't care really. I've gotten in trouble because I don't care for the administration. I not that I'm a rule breaker, but what is fair is fair, what is right, and what is wrong is wrong. Mm-hmm. I am a flawed individual, and I admit when I'm wrong and whatever, but I am here to, I'm here for the students, regardless of what it is. I have been known to stop class when shit happens. I go, okay, let's talk about this. So, what did she say, my child?
Your child says, don't let her downplay. She's changed so many students' lives. A lot of exclamation points or marks. What are they? I don't know. She's a teacher that people will say is... She's a teacher that people will say is a teacher that impacted me for the rest of my life.
I've been told that. I don't see it, but I do have a few of those success stories. I do have to say that half my friends on social media are former students. I'm not kidding.
That's just what that's other good. Indication do you need that like you're someone that really influenced their life? Like you're making a difference. Like it seems like a drop in the ocean or whatever, but like even affecting one person, it's worth it, right? It's
I have a student called my daughter. She would have not gone to college, and you know, unless I forced her, and she got her master's this year and all of that. And I mean, Becca's met her and all of that, and to this day, she's like the one I have to say, my true constant that I go, I did something right. She was the one I saved, and, you know, and I'm like, you know, but I do have to say 90%, and this Mama Ramos didn't come from me being a mom. It came from my students calling me Mama Ramos.
Oh, that's so nice. I would have assumed it was your children, but the fact that it's your students makes it so much more endearing.
Well, my children, you know, they just call me mom. But, you know, but the whole Mama Ramos came from, you know, the student.
Because your maternal energy just, like, seeps through everything. I love that.
Today in my job interview, they asked me, so what is your philosophy of teaching, or what is it that makes you stand out as a teacher? And I guess this comes right back to this, that I told them, I go, I don't know. I'm a mom first and I'm a teacher second. So if you come to my classroom and we're having a little tete-a-tete because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you're going to get, you know, a mouth whipping from me.
Yeah.
But tomorrow will be done, you know, and we start over or whatever. But that's just how I am. And then it's done. So,
That's a good philosophy.
I would love to have you guys in my class. I think you guys are amazing.
Oh, God. So. I was a terrible student. you would have hated me. I had no attention span.
Are you ADD? ADHD?
No, but I'm like kind of dyslexic.
Okay.
And I'm like, I just,
honey, all of us are dyslexic a little bit.
Yeah, but I do think, like, I always think, like, I kind of wish I'd gone to college when I was older, or like just school in general when I was older, because I care so much now, and then I didn't. I just didn't care. Like, now I can take stuff in if I really care about a subject or want to learn.
You know, having been a person who went to college at 37 years old, mm-hmm. And graduated at 40, I have to say that it was easier in this. I mean, I was always a good student, don't get me wrong, because that's the only way I got recognized in my house.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was the middle child. So the only way to get recognized was like, you know, you were the good kid.
Yeah.
So, but I do have to say that because it was my choice, it was. At this time, I was the one doing it and all of that. It just seemed to have been, I guess I appreciated it more.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean, it might have been different considering that, you know, I am technically an immigrant to this country, and being going to college right after high school would have been, you know, something. So I can't say for that. But, you know, life takes you in different pass until you get to where you need to be. So I don't know that had we had children right after, I mean, my husband always said he wanted to wait, but when we started to try and have children and it took us, you know, 6 years to have Elijah, and then Becca came, she was a pleasant surprise, but she was a surprise. No, because
you were an
I
accident,
know.
Becca.
No, because we didn't know if we could have a kid, another kid. We went through so much. So it was like, oh, he got me pregnant. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, great. You know, but we didn't know if we could have another kid. So
gift Becca was.
Yeah,
what
she
a
was.
Little
she
gift.
So had we had kids when we started having, wanting a family, I don't know that my husband would have finished college.
Yeah.
Because he also went to college late. I don't know where we would have been, to be honest. So sometimes, you know, you just find out those curves, those that winding road is the road that you need to be in. So,
yeah. Wow. What great words to leave everyone on. Yeah. You are so inspiring and kind. I'm so glad Becca roped you into this.
Anytime. You know, we should have a different conversation about student loans another day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to let you know when we're ready to just have an event session about the education system.
Whenever you want to just, you know, send that link and I'll be more than glad to be your star guest.
That was great. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
I do have to say I've become a fan of the two of you. I heard of podcasting. I pretend that my students are doing podcasting sessions in their recordings of Spanish. Mm-hmm. You know, I give them a subject matter. I go, think of a podcast kind of situation.
Yeah.
And, but I have become a fan. I think you two are very, very funny. And I think that you're very real. So that's pretty cool. And and embracing my child's new profession. So
thanks. Yeah.
I know you're stuck with us.
I know, which is great. I'm the philosophy, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. So, totally.
It's all good.
That's cool. Do you have, I know that is not your end goal with your job. We have so many comedians or people on that plug in their social media. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you want to plug in your social media. You can if you want to.
Well, I'm Mama Ramos 2022 on Instagram. My Instagram, I scroll through food videos. And
Instagram is innocent. You know what I mean? Just
I'm not into social media. I'm not an influencer. Don't want to be one.
No,
it's entertainment, truly. And then send stuff to Becca because we're going there to New York to go visit her.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I'm trying all these places. I go, oh, this is cool. Mm. So she's probably tired of me sending her that kind of shit. So maybe I should stop. But I find stuff that, this looks fun, like, for her to do. Her in Orlando.
Yeah,
so she's like,
that's fun.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Why didn't you do that?
Well, that's exciting. I'm excited for you to see Becca and to have a New York moment.
Yeah, I used to spend every summer and winter in New York. So
I love New York.
Yeah, my mom was born and raised in New York.
Nice.
So, oh, cool.
So, so New York will be fun, but the husband only wants to go for a few days.
Why are dads like that?
You know what? My dad send him home.
You know what?
You stay and you hang out.
Yeah. I was thinking my cousin has an Airbnb in Brooklyn. It's far from Becca, and that's okay. She could do her work, and I could just go do New York.
Yeah.
But
you don't need him. It's almost like get rid of that ball and chain. Live your best city life.
The man will starve to death, though.
Well, sometimes they got to starve to death a little.
They got to learn the hard way. Yeah. You know? They have to be independent men. It's not just independent women that we value, it's independent men.
It's summer and it's my summer vacation. So
my mom's favorite thing is to leave my dad behind.
Yeah.
She'll be I left your dad. Oh my God. I can like think. There's not like a voice just talking at me all the time. I can like live my life. I don't have to check in with him and be like, do you want to do this? I can just do what I want. Sometimes you got to leave the old ball and chain at home. Live your best life.
So we're going for like 4.5 days, 5 days, whatever it is. And I'm like, you know, New York deserves another 5 more days, you know?
It does.
You know, so we shall see. Yeah. I might book him and send him back. So who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. Well, you're going to have to update us when you come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks again for being on the show.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
Don't go anywhere. I'm going to say bye in a second, but stay here.
No problem.
I'm going to wrap this out. Ready, everybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Ethnically Ambiguous, Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen, it's Shirohiro on Instagram, and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosey on Twitter.
And until next time, tell your teachers thank you, or reach out, you know what I mean? Reach out to someone that changed your life. I think it's really important to remind teachers that they're appreciated and deserve more respect than people give them, so... I think that was a reminder of this episode at the very least.
Well, bye. Ladies, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yay!
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.